Well, it's good to see you here in the house of the Lord this morning. Do I need to do anything with this microphone, fellas, or is it ready to go? It's good. Okay. Well, I like that because I don't have to fool with it. And it's good to see you here this morning, up bright and all bushy-tailed. No, that's not how it goes. Whatever it is, but just thankful for the privilege to be here. When Brother Dennis sent me a text and asked me if I would come, I was thrilled with the idea, and then I remembered I was having my throat cut. And on February 22nd, they removed four discs from my neck and put spacers in and plates and screws. And they had told me originally that it would be up to 12 weeks before I'd be out and about. And then they said it would be 8 weeks before you get back to work. Last Thursday, 1 month to the day, the doctor released me. And I said, "When can I drive?" He says, "Well, if you feel like it." I said, "Well, it's a good thing because I've been doing it." I'd been out plowing the snow with the truck. He didn't know that. But and then I said, "When can I go back to work?" He says, "Well, if you feel like it." And my wife, you know, that supportive individual that she is, says, "He drives a bus." And he says, "Well, you might wait a little bit." And I said, "Okay, I will. I won't go back right away." So I waited from Thursday till this past Monday before I went back to work. And the Lord's been mighty good to me. I appreciate those of you who knew about it that have been praying. And I am stiff-necked, but I'm not uncircumcised of heart. As Stephen said to the Pharisees and scribes, all right? And you pray, continue to pray for me. Where they did, actually, they do cut a muscle in your throat here. And they stretch it apart to go to work. That was the worst part of the surgery, and I still don't have full control of this muscle, so if I don't get words out properly, you pray for me, all right? This is my first time to get to preach, and I'm excited about it, and so you pray. And, you know, as I've been praying and seeking what the Lord would have me to preach on, I know this is Resurrection Sunday, and you all came to sunrise service expecting to hear a message probably on the resurrection. And we'll get to that, but you know, I want to talk about the cross today. This past week, I was getting ready to make my first radio program in over a month, and I just had the beginnings of this message that I was going to talk about, which is being aired on the radio right now. And I started searching my CDs at the house for songs about the cross. And you know, I never realized this before, Brother Dennis, but songs that even had the cross in the title of all these different Southern gospel artists were very few and far between. And I just never realized that. So I believe we need more songs about the cross, amen? Because it was that cruel Roman cross where Jesus went to pay the price for my old dirty filthy sins and for your old dirty filthy sins. And he went there that we might have the privilege and the opportunity of everlasting life. Because the Word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so it took the blood of our dear Lord and Savior that you and I might have everlasting life. So if you'd turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 23, and we'll break in at verse 14, and Pilate is speaking here. Luke chapter 23, and I'd like to just some thoughts about the cost of the cross. And I could in no way cover all of the thoughts about the cost of the cross this morning. But I'd like for you to turn there, Luke chapter 23 and verse 14, if you'd stand, please, in honor of the Word of God. And the Word of God says that Pilate said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must be released, or for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon the service this morning. Father, we come before you, and we thank you, Lord, that you were willing to go to that old rugged cross. I thank you, Lord, that you were willing to leave all of the glories of heaven and come to a sin-cursed earth for a sinner such as me. And Lord, that you would come and that you would give your life that all who would believe might be born again, that they might be forgiven of their sins. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us. And Lord, as we come today, we want to talk about that cruel cross for just a while. Lord, that you were willing to go to for sinners such as we are. And Lord, we want to love you and thank you and praise you for your goodness to us today. In your holy name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, we've got a lot of ideas about the cross, and the cross has long been the symbol of Christianity. And I'm thankful that this cross over here this morning doesn't have the Savior still hanging on it, because so many, necklaces and things, you see, there's a cross with the Savior still hanging on it. But he's not there, folks. He died. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, these liberals and people that would just absolutely reject the truth of the Word of God, they want to tell you that he passed out. They don't want to say that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. But the cross was a symbol of a very cruel death in that day. The Romans used that cross, and in what studies that I have done, I have come, we see a lot of pictures, and in a lot of movies that's been depicted that the cross would have been, the entire cross would have been carried or drugged by the person that was being crucified. But most of the writers that I have read after have said that actually the cross was probably in two pieces, and that the main part of the cross remained at the crucifixion site, and the person to be crucified would have carried that big beam on their shoulders or on their arms as they walked through the streets being mocked by the people. Now you got to remember, the cross was a place of punishment. The cross was a place that the Romans used for people who were vile, who had murdered, who had done wrong, and they used that as an illustration to other people that they would not do the same thing. It was capital punishment at its worst that we could think of today. Some states still have the death penalty, and they put people to sleep, and they no longer put them in the electric chair because that was cruel and inhumane. And we forget about all that a lot of those murderers did, killed numerous people, butchered them, and everything else. And you know, the Roman cross, I'm not saying I would like that to come back, but that certainly set an example to others. Hey, don't do this, or this is how you're going to end up. But that Roman cross was reserved for wicked people. And how our Lord ever ended up on a cross is just beyond me. One who had never sinned, one who had never done anyone wrong, one who had always spoken the truth and set the example of love and compassion. How did he end up on that old rugged cross that was meant for criminals? You know, the cost of the cross wouldn't have been a whole lot material-wise, but yet wood was a place, wood was sort of hard to find in that day around Jerusalem, and they would have had to have gone miles, from what I've read, just to be able to get wood. And so I believe that's why that cross was probably used over and over and over. But you know, when the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stained that cross, no other blood could ever touch the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was spotless blood. It was pure blood. It was blood for the forgiveness of our sins today. And you see, no other blood could ever atone for my old dirty sins. No other blood could ever be the sacrifice for your sins. It took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about that cross and how much it cost. It wouldn't have been much money. And if you figure it out over the number of people that would have died on those crosses, the material cost was probably very, very small. Isn't that a sad way to think about it? But yet our Lord and Savior was crucified upon a common cross for our sins. Yet He came as the King of glory and left all of the beauty of heaven and came to a sin-cursed earth, came to a land that He didn't deserve to have to come to. He died a death that He should have never had to have died. He lived a life, the Word of God says that He said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. He said, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. He had nothing on this earth but the task, the love, the joy, the desire to come and die on a sin-cursed cross for you and I, that we might have everlasting life. It might not have cost much materially, but it cost heaven its very best. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was heaven's very best. I think about on that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see those other crosses, the two men on the other side, the one mocked, and the other says, you know, he looked at him in my words. He says, what are you doing? We deserve what we're getting. He said, but this man has done nothing wrong. And can you imagine that day, the conversation as they're hanging on a cross, blood running from them, and the pain and the agony. And yet the Lord, still in mercy and compassion, says to the one thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Aren't you glad that it doesn't take baptism to get into heaven? It takes believing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the one who died for our sins that we might have everlasting life. Oh, there are so many people say, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you got to march this way, you got to jump through this hoop before you'll ever go to heaven. Let me tell you, the Word of God says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Amen. And I'm glad that just believing and trusting in Jesus, but I really do believe that when you believe in Him and you trust in Him, your life's going to be different. And Brother Dennis has got a great story to tell you about a fellow that got saved this week, and I'm not going to take that away from him. But let me tell you, when you get saved by the grace of God, your life is going to be different. You're going to want to live different. And I'm glad that by the grace of God, He saved me one day. He put a desire in my heart to live for Him. He washed me in His blood, and I'm glad that I'm on my way home. But you know, on that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the guilty was going free and the innocent was paying the price. All through the Old Testament, when it came time for that yearly sacrifice, it had to be a lamb, it had to be a bullock without spot, without blemish. And that one that had never sinned, that one that had never done wrong, had to pay the price for sin for those who were guilty. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, that final, supreme blood sacrifice that the book of Hebrews says once for all. Aren't you glad that He died once for our sins? The Word of God says that He'll never be brought again to an open shame. He'll never be crucified on that cross again. Once was enough. Once was more than enough. Aren't you glad that it only took one drop of His precious blood that you and I could be born again, that we could be on our way to heaven and know that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Man, I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that the Word of God says if we'll believe, if we'll confess and we'll ask Him in, we can know that we've been redeemed. Amen? Got that no-so salvation. You see, Jesus was innocent, but Barabbas wasn't. Barabbas was guilty. Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas had caused all kinds of problems, but yet Jesus was that innocent one that went to that cross. You know, I read a pamphlet one time from a doctor's view on the cross. And I tell you, as I read that, I sat there and I wept, because this doctor went into in-depth detail when he described that whip that would have been used with pieces of metal in it, pieces of bone, pieces of glass in these long leather straps that would tie that in the end of it. And those men that were the men that would take the whip, they were experts in it, as they would take that whip and they would crack it across the back of the accused. And as it would land, they would jerk it, because it would pull the flesh, it would pull the muscle, it would go all the way down into the bones and into the organs. It was a wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ even made it alive from the beating. And when I think about how the Word of God says that He was marred beyond recognition, He was beaten, His beard was plucked out. I don't know this fellow's name over here, and got Rick here, they've got beards, and I guarantee you, if you walked up to them and grabbed them grabbed their beard by the hand, old Big John back there, he don't like you touching his beard, but if you walked back in and you grabbed a hold of that hair and you started yanking it out, every one of these men would be flailing and they'd be swinging. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ, they walked up to Him and they yanked it out of His face. And then they spit on Him. And then they took their hands and they punched Him in the face. And He was a bloody, bruised mess. But yet He did not fight back. He went as that lamb to the slaughter, to that old rugged cross that was reserved for the wicked, for those that had done wrong. And He did it all because He loved us. I can't imagine that kind of love. I can't comprehend it, because you and I don't love like that. You and I think we can love like that. We want to love like that. But yet He loved us so very much, He was willing to do all of that. Then I think about the truth of justice was denied. Here, Pilate, three times, he says, "I find no fault in this man." And they say, "Crucify Him." And he says, "Why? What evil has He done? He's done no wrong." But yet, Pilate even heard from his wife. She says, "Have nothing to do with that just man. I've suffered many things in a dream today because of him." But yet, Pilate still, the Word of God says, he delivered them. He delivered Jesus to their will. The truth of justice was denied. That's the cost of the cross. Because when they examined him, when they looked at him, they should have said, "No, he's innocent," and let him go free.
But they didn't. Because it was his passion. It was his desire to come and be that sacrifice for you and I. You know, the sanity of the crowd was lost. They just got together. And I dare say that some of those very people that are yelling, "Crucify him!" were the same people that less than a week earlier were putting palm branches in the streets. Maybe even taking their jackets off and laying it for the donkey to walk on. And they're saying, "Blessed be the Son of God." Maybe the same people. You see, the world today influences people all around us. The crowd has gone crazy. Look at our world today. Sensible things from the foundation of our country are being lost. We look at them and our government leaders are being influenced by the worldly crowd. And decisions are being made. Abortion is rampant in our land. And we want to punish those who are innocent. And we want the guilty to be the ones in charge. And folks, the world has gone crazy. But it's nothing new. They were crazy the day that Jesus was crucified. And look at what took place there that day. Man, I see so many similarities in our society today. A few years ago in the riots in Baltimore, which they don't want to call them that. But yet, what took place there? They're burning the homes of their senior family members. And because the crowd was crazy. And then our government leaders say, "Let them do that." You know, the world is not a whole lot different today. It's still violent. It's still filled with sin. And if we're looking to our government to solve the problems of our nation, we better get over it real quick, because it's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ to take care of the social problems of our society. You see, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the only answer. Heaven's best had to be crucified. You know, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 13, verse 8, the Word of God says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And aren't you glad that it didn't take God by surprise that man would sin? And that all of a sudden he's wringing his hands and he's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit, 1 and 3, 3 and 1, and saying, "What in the world are we going to do?" I'm glad it didn't take him by surprise. But I'm glad that from the very concept of the thought of creating this world, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, they're going to need a Redeemer. And Jesus said, "I'll be that Redeemer." Aren't you glad that he was willing to go for you and I? Heaven's very best for you and for me. You know, no angel, no person, no animal could ever pay the price. In the book of Revelation, they searched for someone to open the books. And there's only one. Only one worthy. John said he wept because nobody could come forward. But then the precious Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, hath prevailed, and he came and he opened the books. The Bible says that there's a Lamb's Book of Life. I truly believe that there's two books of life. I believe there's a book of life that has every name written in it that was ever been born again or been born. But I believe the Lamb's Book of Life is the book that's written with every born again child of God. And friend, if your name is not in that Lamb's Book of Life, you're lost, you're headed for hell. And friend, you need to be born again today. You see, we're here, and I would dare say that probably most everyone here knows the Lord. You're here at 6:30 on a Sunday morning. Maybe you came for breakfast. I don't know. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the answer for your sin, for your problem, for your life. There is no other remedy for your sin. Jesus is the only answer. You know, the cost of the cross is that a perfectly good tomb ended up being used and no one there. Aren't you glad that on that third day, as we've come this morning to celebrate a risen Savior, He's alive. They went to the tomb, John chapter 20 and Luke chapter 24, early in the morning. And they heard the earth rumble. They felt the earth rumble. The women had already said, how are we going to roll that stone away? Man, they got there. The stone is rolled back. And they're looking. And the angels are there. And they're saying, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And I like that last word because it's past tense. And that He's not there. He's gone. He's alive. His clothes are laying there. They're wrapped up and they're folded and He's gone. Aren't you glad we serve a risen Savior? Jim, I'm glad you sang that song because on the way down here I was thinking, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Well, I know that He is living. Whatever man may say, I hear His voice of mercy. And I forget the words. I always do that. But I'm glad that I get to that last part in the chorus that says, He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. Man, I'm glad that I know that I serve a risen Savior. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you need to know Him as your Savior. You need that joy in your heart to experience sins forgiven. Doesn't matter how old you are. Young people need the Lord. Man, they especially need the Lord today. They need to know that He's with them every hour, every second of every minute, and that He's there day after day, every year, because, man, they face a lot of things. If you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have that confidence. You can have that assurance in your heart, because I guarantee you, you're going to experience a difference. You're going to know that He's there with you. But, man, when you get up and you get in life with family and with a job, you need Jesus. That's all there is to it. To be able to keep you going. And man, as we get older, those golden years, when you give all your gold to the doctor, that's the only way there's anything golden about it. I can guarantee you that. I'm glad when I got ready to have this surgery, and of course with the great insurance system we have today, man, I started to worry. I have my retirement from the post office, but that doesn't pay the insurance bills. And so I work, I drive, pay ridiculous amount for health insurance. And if I don't work, I don't get paid. That's just plain and simple. And I started worrying. I'd say to Patton, I'd cry because I was worried. She'd say, it's going to be okay. So I started praying, and the Lord started speaking in my heart. And He gave me a peace. That's going to be okay. And in 4 weeks and 4 days, instead of 12 weeks, He let me go back to work. You see, that's just the Lord. Because Doc looked at me, he says, you're doing great. And I never imagined this. When Brother Dennis asked me about coming, I said, I may still have to be wearing a collar. I don't know if I can even be allowed to drive by that time. I don't know if I'll be able to. Didn't want to wear a collar because I was quite sure I'd get Father so-and-so attached to it. But I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. Do you know Him today? If you do, let's just rejoice together on this Easter Sunday morning. He's alive forevermore. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.